T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Todd Feinberg, now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
It's WTIC. It's Tuesday. What else do you want to know? What other brilliant pieces of information that you would otherwise not have in your mind can I offer to you? It's almost winter. You notice it getting a little chilly? Don't like that. I don't mind chilliness. It's what it portends. Is that the right word? I don't use that word, portends, but I like it. It's a pretty word. All right, so first off, I have a bunch of things to talk to you about. And I wanted to offer you the chance. I'm not one of those talk hosts who has a regular segment where I say, you call and talk about whatever you want. But why the heck not? If you have something you want to talk about, do it here, okay? And let's talk about what's on your mind. Because you might have something bouncing around your brain that I haven't thought of to talk about. So you suggest a topic. Then I saw this story, I think it was Friday, in The Current. Embryo mix-up too much to bear. And the fun part of this story, it's not a fun story for the people who live through it, but it's an interesting story. These people, two couples who got in vitro fertilization, they get home, and they can tell right off the bat, one of these couples, that it doesn't look like skin color, hair color, vibe. It doesn't feel like their baby. And they find out after, I don't know, close to a year, they get back a DNA test, and it confirms that the in vitro place messed up the sperm and gave the wrong couples, implanted the wrong sperm in the wrong people. And my question for you is, what do you do about this? If you've gone a year raising a child as your own, but it happens not to have your biology, what is the correct remedy? Is a one-year-old child of its experiences and its sense of comfort and safety that it gets from its parents, knowing its parents, loving its parents, forming its first year, its most important formative year, around those parents and presumably the mother with the breastfeeding and all the other intimacy that women have with a baby that men might not, or men might come close. But still, I think particularly with a mother, wow, you just rip that thing away and give it back? Like it's that important? But then again, you want to raise your biological child. What do you do? I want to get your feedback on this. 860-522-9842, because I think it's a stunning story and an amazing question for the issues it raises. What actually makes that baby yours after a year? At day one, you've carried the baby, all right? On the birthday, at the hospital, the baby's been born, but you've still been carrying it around for 9 months, mother, and you went through delivery with the baby. That's worth a lot to you, might not mean much to the child, however. 3 months, 6 months, a year? Isn't a baby walking by a year? Isn't it starting to talk by a year? It's almost ready for college. You better have a big chunk of change in the bank. Come on. 860-522-9842. That's the story that excites me the most, because I love stories that just bring you back to how do you think and what are your basic principles? Because it strikes me in some way as being cosmetic. Isn't it a cosmetic argument after a year that you have to have your DNA baby back and just ignore the fact that you've spent a year bonding with that child? And how is it even possible to, oh, let's swap? I don't think I would do that with my car if I got the wrong car. Now, I love my car too much. I can't give it back. I don't know. Maybe that's not a good comparison. Paul in Waterbury, hi.
Scott, this one's a slam dunk for me. Okay, obviously, and this is to me obvious, and I hope nobody argues with me, but you make it conflicting arguments. That's what
we're here to argue, Paul.
That's what talk radio is fun about, isn't it? But you know,
yes.
What, Todd? Look, I'm a divorced dad. I'm not going to go on about me. But as a divorced dad, you understand it's all about your kids. Not about you anymore at all. Well, maybe 5%. But anyway, in this situation, it's all about the health of the kids. You do not separate a kid from their what they have assumed as their parent after being with that parent for a year. It's traumatic for the child just because the parents want to have the chemicals match up. That's my opinion.
How about the your test, though? Isn't there a part of this that fails that test? A part of what you're suggesting should be the remedy, that is to leave the kids where they are. Then,
well, you know,
aren't
I
you,
guess, I
then
know
you're dealing with an issue.
Yeah.
No, forget about the legal. Just listen to my question.
All right.
Isn't there some trauma later in life for a child who's been raised by the wrong parents and maybe always feels displaced?
Well, then, Todd, do they really even have to know? Is that necessary information? Is that TMI, too much information for the child?
That's a good point. But what if it's just visually different enough that you can tell there's a mix-up of DNA?
What if it's what again? I'm sorry.
You know, if the visual is a cue of substantial ethnic difference.
If there's an obvious difference in skin color, I don't know. Was there an obvious difference in skin color here?
Let's keep it in the hypothetical realm because this is an interesting conversation.
Even,
what
even
do you do in that?
If it's a difference in skin color, then the child is going to have to know, I suppose. If it's not, then I don't see any reason the child has to know. Okay, teachers,
yes, but I'm asking about in terms of doing the swap. In terms of looking at them, realizing this.
Yeah, in terms of doing a swap. I don't know.
All right, that's good. We stumped you.
It's a tough question there. I mean, if you've got different races.
It's not that bad because it took them a while to.
To the mill. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, it just took them a while to figure it out. So I'll put you on hold. If you want to come back, remain there, and I'll come back and get your answer. Mike in Manchester, hi.
Hey, what's up, buddy? How you doing? First of all, I want to
thank
say
you for the
that,
call.
Well, if can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. First of all, I'll say if you're a liberal, you can still abort the baby, even after it's been alive for a year. I'm kidding. And second of all, the caller you got on hold, I hope he's not a parent. What the heck is wrong with them? Of course you're going to want to reunite with your child. You're going to want that other parent to have their child. There's not going to be trauma done to that child after 1 year. They'll have no memory of it. Of course you want to rectify the situation and sue the institution that messed you up in the first place.
Well, the lawsuit goes without saying. But I want to challenge you on your assumptions here. You've grown the baby inside your womb, consider yourself the mother, and you've given birth to it, and you've had that joyous first day in the hospital, and you spent a year raising this child. you have no feelings for this child? You think that child is not bonded to you in a powerful way and will be freaked out?
That has nothing to do with it. That's basically irrelevant,
which,
of course.
Which thing is irrelevant?
The fact that you have invested all that time and that you have an emotional attachment to that child. I have kids that consider me their father. They know I'm not their father, and I love them to death. I have an amazing emotional attachment to them. But I would still want to find my birth child and rectify the situation.
But there is no way to rectify the situation, it strikes me, because that baby who spent a year bonding to his or her parents...
If they find where your child was actually placed in the wrong womb, could you work out a swap?
But why would you do that to the one-year-old? The real crux of this, I guess, is what's so important about DNA when you've spent a year loving each other?
Because that is your child. That is your DNA. That's your baby. The other one, you're basically just a surrogate. You perform the function of a surrogate.
No, not after you've spent a year living together.
Yes.
You can't do a surrogate first year, Mike. That's just too much to ask. Thank you for the call. Your phone line is really noisy there, so I'm going to let you go. We'll take a quick break and talk more. We're talking about an embryo mix-up, a story that was in the Current on Friday, I think, about two sets of parents who went to the same place to get in vitro, and the in vitro place mixed up their sperm samples and injected them into the wrong mothers, and the parents ended up spending a year raising the kids. What are your thoughts on whether the child should be returned at the end of that year, to if they should swap them back to their rightful DNA parents, or if they should stick with the mistake? 860-522-9842. We'll take a quick break, and we will take some more phone calls on WTIC.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
WTIC. We're talking about in vitro fertilization, a mix-up at a clinic causes...
Alexa, be quiet.
That worked. I just yelled at the smart speaker and she got quiet. She knows that one, apparently. So in vitro fertilization, this is when the egg is fertilized outside of the womb, then implanted back in. And there was a mistake made at a clinic, and they were implanted into the wrong women, swapped. And I'm wondering, I'm making some of the facts hypothetical ones for the sake of conversation, because I think it's such a fascinating issue. If this mix-up stays around for a long time and the parents eventually realize that they've got the wrong kids, they get a DNA test, they confirm it through the DNA, and they swap the kids back. And I'm wondering where the cutoff would be if you think for a one-week-old or a one-month-old or a three-month-old or a six-month-old. There's some early cutoff point there at which you would say, no, you can't give that kid back. And I don't think at a year you can give the child back, because it's just the human connection is way stronger at that point than the DNA. I want to get your thoughts on it. 860-522-9842. Yes.
I had a question regarding
this. Hang on,
this.
Billy.
We just had a caller bring this up. I know you said you didn't want to get into details, but did they use the wrong sperm for the wrong eggs, or was this just they used the right sperm and the right eggs, but the people had the wrong child?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. I don't know the answer to that. I don't know if they know the answer.
That would be an even bigger mess up, because then who knows whose child's whose, really? Then you're really better off just keeping.
Then there's no such thing.
Yeah, then you're just...
Well, no, that's kind of a better one, because the kids are siblings.
Yeah. Pretty much, yeah, which is weird.
Fascinating. It's just a fascinating issue. It forces you to face, I think, what being a parent really is. Hi, Billy. Billy. Billy is gone. Let's try Jim in Plainfield. Hi, Jim.
How you doing?
How Go are ahead, you? Jim.
I'm here. How are you?
Go ahead. I'm good. Go ahead.
Well, my take on it is maybe a little bit different. I'm a child of immigrants, as is my wife. We were brought up mm-hmm. without aunts and uncles, without first cousins. When we got back to the old country, and it doesn't matter which old country it is, when you get back there and you meet people who look like you for the first time, it's quite astounding. They may have a mole like you. They may have a crooked tooth. They may have something you see. And then to meet your parents' siblings and see all the things that came with them to your parents and then down to you. So I think you have to go if it's, you know, the complete egg and sperm were the right egg mm-hmm. and sperm, but in the wrong person. I believe
yes.
you always have to go for the DNA. Not that you can't love the other child, not that you couldn't raise the other child, but I think blood trumps. I think blood trumps stuff.
And would you put an age limit on that? Would you take a five-year-old, if you just discovered at age five by a DNA test, maybe it's a chance occurrence, maybe it never occurred to the parents there was a mix-up,
well,
and you found out...
It would have to be discussed yeah. at 5 years old. But at 1 year old, I don't think any of us remember being 1 year old. I think a lot of us remember being two and a half, three. So somewhere around there is where I think things get tricky. But in the first year or two, I don't think it makes a difference.
It wouldn't make a difference to you, I don't think. And it wouldn't make a difference, I don't think, to memories. I think you're right, conscious memories. But life is imprinted on children. And I believe you would have a traumatized one-year-old. George South Windsor. Hi, George.
Hi, Todd. I was kind of going where Anthony went with that. I don't know if half the DNA is the mother's. But regardless of that, as you just said, you've imprinted on a kid after a year. And they've definitely affected your life. Absolutely, as you already said, there's a lawsuit there. And they screwed up at the fertilization place, but I don't see why you can't still keep that kid, love that kid, regardless of the DNA.
Yeah, so that's where I come down too, George, on the other side of Jim, that DNA is something nature gives us to lock us into parenthood a little more powerfully, but I don't think after you, as a step-parent, I understand that part of that's an illusion and that you love the child you've nurtured. That's how I look at it, same as you.
I couldn't agree more.
All right, thank you for that, George. Good to hear from you. 860-522-9842. We are discussing a mixed-up in vitro implant. And what would you do if you had given birth to the wrong baby because of mess up at the in vitro place? And after a year, you found out the truth. Would you want to give the baby back or would you say that's not something you could do? 860-522-9842. The rant line number, 860-751-4698. This is a good one for the rant line, too. As you contemplate this and want to... share a thought. It's just such a delightful story. And we'll talk more about it as we move through the afternoon. All right, what else do I need to tell you? Rants at 5 o'clock. Yes, there is still time to get a rant in for today. We've also got Tom Scott on Tuesdays during the last 20 minutes of the show leading up to 6 o'clock. Look forward to that one because he's a brilliant political analyst. And we've got stories on national politics and state politics to discuss as we move through the afternoon. And, of course, I offered you the chance to name your own subject. Yep, you can pick it. We'll talk about whatever you like. 860-522-9842. News time on WTIC.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. Todd Feinberg, now 2 till 6 on WTIC News Talk 1080.
For people who are wondering if the kids who were mixed up in this in vitro mistake were partially related to each other, that is, the father's sperm, mother's egg were somehow combined in a crosswise way. That was not the case. Apparently. I just did a little more research on it. It seems to me that they are, I have to infer it from the language, but it seems to me that they are 100% belonging to the wrong family when they are born. And they are kept there for some time. And the parents have a sense right off the bat, because of some racial differences, that they've got the wrong kid. But it takes a while to work it out. It takes some months. And the question is it right to switch the kids back? Is that the right answer? Or is the right answer to say the life of the kid? Somebody mentioned this earlier, and I think it's right. The test has to be based on the best interest of the child, doesn't it? And don't you have to think about the kid developmentally and how much they have been formed around their custodial parents? And isn't the custody way more important at some point, pretty quick in this process, than is the biology? 860-522-9842. Thankfully, we've got a woman on this. Elizabeth, hi.
Hi, how are you? I have to say that as a woman and having children, that you carry that baby, you nurse that baby, and then you want to take that baby away from their mother, who they're super attached to at a year old. I think that would be detrimental to the child in the long run. I know everybody's saying
extremely, I think.
They're a year old that they don't remember, but the trauma of being janked out of their own family, which is their family, I think it would cause great damage.
Yes, I think what you just described is stronger than a memory. It's an imprint on the psyche of the child, and there's no telling what kind of damage that might do.
I agree with you 100%. And, I think it's kind of almost like, as a mother, I don't even know if you could do that. Like, if you could give up a baby that you had taken care of and nursed, you carried the baby. It's not like it's a baby just switched to the delivery room. It's the baby that you've been taking care of and carrying in your body.
And you love that child with every bit of yourself.
That's what I mean, yeah. And to give it away or swap it out, I don't think that's going to make it better for anybody. Certainly not for the children.
Now, here's the twist on it. What's the timing issue? So would you say the same thing 3 months along or 6 months along? At what point would you say there's a demarcation line?
Well, babies, they can smell their mother. So I would think that I'm not sure there could be a time limit on it, because even an infant knows who their mother is because they can smell her when they're next to her. even though they can't.
So what you're suggesting is that those kinds of experiential bonding issues would be right out of the box. Those would be the most powerful answers that the baby wants to get. Who is this person?
Yes. And they're instinctual for both of them, the mother and the baby.
All right, that's excellent, Elizabeth. I appreciate it. Thank you for the call.
And I do like your show a lot. I listen to it all the time. Thank you.
Thanks so much for that. 860-522-9842. From the Big House, Michael Leibowitz. Are you in on our topic, Michael?
Todd, I'm having a very hard time hearing you because this place is a total zoo. But I would like to respond to a caller that called last night in response to my call. The gentleman, okay. His name is Jerry, and he seems like a very nice guy. But he insinuated, or didn't insinuate, he said that I think we should live in a country club. And I just got to say, I don't think that not wanting to have another man's feces floating in my toilet or mice crawling in my bed constitutes living in a country club. But more to the point, when I say things like that, I'm not saying them from the perspective of poor inmates shouldn't have to suffer like that. I'm saying it from the perspective that this is a government agency that's supposed to fulfill a service and doesn't. And therefore, they're ripping off taxpayers and putting the population at further risk when inmates who are unrehabilitated are released to the street. So Jerry said something about that, don't do the crime if you can't do the time. That's fair enough. But I would just respond, don't support a policy unless you're willing to suffer the results of that policy. And if you treat inmates the way that they're treated in this facility, it's not going to be a good result.
All right, Michael, thank you for clarifying. I'm with you.
Before you go, Todd, I would just like to say, I would love to be able to talk to Jerry. If he would like to reach out to me at rabbitholect@gmail.com, I would love to hash some things out. He seems great.
Yeah, he's a good guy, he is. All right, Michael.
He does seem
great. rabbitholect@gmail.com.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
You are such a modern world guy. Thank you, Michael. And we've got Everett next from East Hartford. Hey, Everett.
Hey, Todd. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, I mean, this is a real touchy situation. I mean, there is a natural bond right away. I mean, I know for a fact, I was lucky enough to see both of my daughters born. I was there, and there is a certain scent that comes off the top of the child's head that if you actually close your eyes and smell that, you'll be able to recognize that for, like, forever and a day.
That's interesting.
Like a bonding process almost instantly. But there's also the human factor of, you know, we all sometimes have a desire where we came from. You know, so, I mean, there's two sides to the story, and there's no real simple answer for this.
The simple answer would be based on what you could know about the child. To pick a point at which... I think where you have to draw a line. So for me, a year old is way too old to disrupt the kid's bonding with its custodial parents. Biology is not relevant at that point. The child will be able to have access, presumably, with the biological parents later on.
I understand that, but I mean, there's a lot of, you know, adults as well are involved in this. I mean, so there's a lot of emotions.
Yes, but what difference do adult emotions make compared to the best interests of a child?
Well, I mean, if all people concerned could actually sit down and have a conversation, because, I mean, there's been several situations where, you know, people have run into relatives they didn't know, and they ended up being bonded, or they were, you know what I mean, and the family grew, you know, and the two families became like they were, you know, brothers and sisters, and they were aunts and uncles and cousins, you know what I mean?
Yes, and that option would still be there for these kids if they were left where they are. The part I'm concerned about is that there's an invisible force that we don't begin to understand of what goes on through that bonding process. And
there's orphans, too. I mean, it's a horrible thing, but I mean, there's, you know what I mean? There's so many different aspects to this. I mean,
yes, but you're talking about the worst kinds of circumstances. You know, the fact that there are orphans doesn't mean we want there to be orphans. Thank you, Everett. Good to hear your input on this. I just think that it's easy to miss the idea of this invisible force that I referred to, that being the bonding between a mother and child, and parents and a child during that first year, we might someday be able to measure it and say that that's 98% of the mental health of a child later. I'm exaggerating, I assume, but it's disproportionate. I don't think at that point in the development of even 6 months, 3 months, I don't think you would want to do a switch. And I don't think it makes that much difference for the parents, because the hard part for the parents would be to switch over to a new kid, I would think. I would think the parents are a little out of touch if they're putting that much weight on biology later on. Your thoughts, please. 860-522-9842. Pete's in Ellington. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Tom. I'm sorry, Todd. First off, I am a parent of an in vitro son. He's 23 now, and he's a dead ringer for me, so I'm pretty sure they got it right. So it's not my problem. But so let's take the case of you figure it out at birth. I think you say, you know what, let's just do the switch. Let's get it over with.
Agreed.
Let's cut our losses here and try to write this. But you had a guy that said, oh, you know, blood's thicker than anything else, and you can take you could just swap out a one-year-old because he ain't going to remember anyway because we don't have memories. Now, you and I don't remember what we did at one-year-old, but if that had been done to us, it would cause irreparable harm. You can't do that. Now, where that point is, here's what I would say. Let's say you got a kid 6 months old and you figure it out and you say, all right, fix this, but you know what? We've got to do a transition. Let's say you take the two kids, right, and the two sets of parents, and you say, all right, you know what? You start babysitting this kid for 15 minutes a day, a couple days a week, and then you start taking them for an hour, and maybe take them for 2 hours, and eventually, once Uncle Bob here you're familiar enough with him, now maybe you start to. You know what I'm saying? You do the switch.
Yeah, absolutely. That's brilliant.
Without scarring the kids, and you end up with the right biological kids, so you don't have that baggage anymore, and the kid grows up and doesn't turn into an axe murderer because, you know, he had this traumatic experience.
Yeah, I might take you a step further on that. I think that's such a good idea that you would bond the families and...
Yeah,
spend weekends together and yeah, go ahead.
Lifetime connections. You know, this.
Well,
is,
not just that, but you make such a deep connection at that point that it's not so big of a decision to make.
Right, and that way you end up with your kid who you can look at and say, yes, that's my kid, and so you don't have that in the back of your mind, but you've also got this other kid who you've got a lifelong connection to because, well, your wife, you know, your wife made him. Your wife carried him for 9 months, so, you know. So there's definitely that connection. She becomes a close aunt, I guess, or whatever you want to call it. But once you get past that age of when you get to the age of lasting memories, which is somewhere 2-3 years old, you know what? That's when you just got to say, well. We effed up. This is your kid now. Sorry. Now, when the kid's older, maybe, you know, maybe you and can, you know, understand what went on. Maybe you introduce them to their biological parents, but that's your kid. And if you try to hand that kid off at that time, nah, sorry, it's not going to work.
At which time?
At the age of 5, for instance, where this kid knows mom and dad, and you
Wait a second. I thought you were saying, Pete. I thought you were unclear at a few months whether you should do this.
At anything up to the age where the kid has lasting memories, I think you could do that transition that I described, where you could.
I get you. Okay.
You know, you could do a full handoff. But there comes
eventually you're saying you can't even do that. Yeah, okay. I got it. Thank you, Pete. 860-522-9842. Isn't this a fascinating subject? I love this subject. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but we'll go to John first, then Bob, 860-522-9842. You guys have been waiting for a few minutes, so we'll go right to you when we continue on WTIC.
Miss something from the Todd Feinberg Show? Listen to the podcast on WTIC.com/podcast.
Of course I'm live. Whenever I come back, Anthony says, you're live, so I know he's turned on my mic. But what else would I be? Huh? All right, we're talking about a story that was in the paper a few days ago in The Current. Embryo mix-up, too much to bear. Two sets of parents, same IVF. Is that what you call it, IVF? In vitro fertilization clinic. And they do a good job fertilizing the eggs with the right sperm, but they put the fertilized eggs in the wrong women. And they realize fairly early on that something's amiss because there is a racial component that makes the skin color and hair color be a little off from what they were expecting. And eventually they find out that, you know, they get a DNA test back and they find out that indeed they have the wrong babies implanted. And this story is really about the legal fight. And it's a fascinating legal fight because the IVF clinic, without disclosing it, was actually using a subcontractor to do the actual handling of the fertilization. So it's a complicated case because you have multiple parties involved and you have the failure to disclose the use of a third party for the most important part of the process. And what I find fascinating is our preconceived notions about what parenthood is. And for me as a step parent, I don't see any difference between, like, if you love a kid and raise a kid, that kid is yours. And I don't think that can be taken away, that's just there, deeply embedded into the psyches of both the parents and the kids. And that's how I look at this. You've got a heavy, heavy decision on your hands if at some point along the way you realize this, when the child's already put some time in with the first parent. Because of what the caller was talking about with the smells and these more primitive parts of us, don't minimize because of the word primitive. I think it's the opposite, that the primal tools that we have to judge our own safety are embedded early in life. So imagine this newborn that's smelling, feeling, hearing the voice, sensing the vibrations of the mother. And that becomes coded for them as, I'm safe, I'm loved. And then you break that at some point. It's 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, a year, whenever you want to think about it. That's a big decision because now you're dealing with powerful forces. That's how I look at it. Okay, John, East Hartford, hi.
Thank you for taking my call. This is insane. I feel just, I don't know how to feel. It's just crazy. Like the mother that seen her child, did it look so different that she had a question to make that question?
Yes.
I mean, it's just, yeah. I mean, I don't know how I would feel. Like how you said, love is love. But what do, you know?
Well, that's the question. So they dealt with it by starting off with the DNA test. They wanted the answer. And they eventually got the answer. I don't want to say yet what they decided to do, but I wanted to find out what callers have to say about it because it's such a fascinating story. Do you have an answer?
Said, that guy about introducing them, like taking them on field trips,
yes,
and such, is probably the best.
Yeah, that was really smart.
You know, I mean,
well,
yeah,
but we're dealing with younger than field trips. So it would be a family commitment, you know?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Because that's just going to be tough as the kid gets older. I mean, it really shouldn't matter. I mean, after a year, you're going to love that kid. So they are the parents, but when you start poking around, I don't know. That's just it's a really tough situation, you know?
John, I love how deeply you're feeling it, because I think that's the right way to process this kind of question. Thank you so much for the call. Yeah, Pete came up with what I think is the best solution, that is merge the families. You know, you each keep your own homes and your own families and leave the kids where they are, but make them your closest relatives and your closest friends so that when they discover what's actually going on, they've got good relationships with everybody. Bob, you're next. Hi.
Thanks, Todd. First time caller. Hey, this kind of really hit me between the eyes, and I know lots of times you like to talk about political things, and you know, I'm okay with that, but you know, I'm going to add another twist to this thing. I would assume that this child and these parents, this child now has grandparents, and I am a grandfather of a one-year-old and a two-year-old. Mm-hmm. And I know as a grandfather of the one-year-old, I mean, I am extremely bonded with my granddaughter, and I couldn't imagine, you know, my daughter coming up and saying, well, you know, if we got the wrong child, and we're gonna give them to the right parents, and you know,
yes,
you know, bring this other one in. It's like, you know, that's my wife. That it was not going to happen, you know.
Well, yeah. So that's a great point. Love, and that's an argument for love being love, and also that love is risk, that if you're loving another human being, you're putting yourself at risk, and that's part of life. You can't have a full life if you're not taking those chances, because the love that you're giving is as much for the people you give it to as it is for yourself, and everybody's involved with that situation. It's so complicated, right, you know. But I love what you're saying about it, because I'm a grandparent too, and the closeness you develop, you're wondering why people aren't calling you up and checking for your opinion, but they don't quite so much.
Yeah, and I'm just seeing, you know, I had four kids, and I'm seeing these grandkids, and they're developing so much faster than I think my kids did, and I can see just the bonds that my granddaughter, my grandson have with their parents at 1 year old. It's just incredible. And I can't imagine, you know, snatching them away from that bond and putting them with someone that they don't even have any identity with.
All right, so it's impossible at a year. You're right. Kid is so, their worlds revolve around their parents at a year. At what point would it not be that way? 9 months, 6 months? Where would you draw the line on this, Bob?
Yeah, that's a tough question, because, you know, again, there's other people involved. You know, you've got grandparents and stuff.
Just think about the best interest of the kid, though.
I'm going to say 6 months, Todd. Anything after that, you're that bond is starting to really grow.
Yeah, I don't know if I would go that far out. Maybe 3 months. It's fascinating, Bob, and I thank you for taking part in the conversation. 860-522-9842. We'll talk about this more, the mixed-up embryo situation, fertilized embryo. Coming up, we'll do it more after news, yeah, on WTIC.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.